women, bringing you inspiring stories, politics, pop culture, and lifestyle hacks, all with an eye to making our communities and our country a better place to live. It's the Happy Women Podcast with your hosts, Jen Horn and Katie Gorka.
Thanks for joining us and welcome to another episode of the Happy Women Podcast. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Katie Gorka.
And this is, our latest episode. We're so happy to have you. This is a brand new podcast for us. It's like a new baby that we're fostering here. And we hope that you'll share it. We hope you'll tell your friends about it and leave us some comments if there's subjects that you want us to cover. We're reading all of those comments. So please download, like, rate. We appreciate all of that. Happy Women Podcast, of course. And big thank you to the Salem Podcast Network for hosting us. Now, Katie, it has been the story of the last several weeks, months maybe. I mean, really, college campuses are ground zero for what's now this pro-Hamas movement that seems to be sweeping across the country. In California, USC has canceled their graduations. We heard this week that Humboldt, the college campus in Humboldt, was actually telling students to shelter in place because it wasn't safe for them to go outside. They finally had to make a bunch of arrests. Austin had to make 80 arrests. You had Virginia Tech with another 80 arrests. Yale actually calling in police to clear off their campuses. And Columbia, which seems to be the place with the hotbed of action, just this week had students break into Hamilton Hall and take over a building. They're now occupying that as they're in these negotiations with the leadership at Columbia. And my thought on this is, why are we having negotiations with people who are literally propping up terrorists?
It's incredible. I mean, we're seeing it here in Washington, D.C. as well. Students have taken over at George Washington University. It's been going on late into the night, and it's a really big problem. Now, I did think it was interesting, a news story just posted that Columbia is actually threatening to expel the students who've taken over the buildings. But you have to really ask yourself, where are the grown-ups, and why are they not dealing with these kids, are they kids? Yeah. That's first of all, a big question. You know, are we doing enough to look into who's behind this? And, you know, yesterday with my colleague, Mike Gonzalez, I got to meet with a group of young Senate staffers, many of whom are recently out of college. We were there to talk to them about our new book on next gen Marxism. But, you know, they were talking about all the problems that they faced just being conservative on college campuses. Yeah. So I think what we're seeing is kind of the culmination of what's been going on for a long time. And I just find it so shameful that the heads of these universities are not cracking down. And I will say, I heard something very interesting. I was actually listening to my husband's show, and one of his callers called in and said she had done some research on the heads of about five different of these leading universities that are in the news. She said they were all women. They had all been brought in around 22, 23, and that they were all deeply invested in the DEI agenda.
Yes, and I've done the same research. These are DEI
really?
Diversity hires for sure.
Wow.
And it's because I've been screaming about this, so I thought I better look into it and see what's going on. I've been the last few weeks, whether it's on the radio program, I know we even talked about it on our podcast in the last episode, we are suffering from a lack of leadership in this country. And it is evident when it comes to a matter like this. First of all, where is the president? President Biden, I like to call him Chairman Joe. He finally issued a statement on Tuesday, the last day of April, after this has been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on college campuses. He finally issues a statement, and it's weak sauce, if it's anything. I mean, he says something along the lines, and I don't have it in front of me, but this is through a spokesperson, and he said, breaking into buildings is bad. Don't do it. We don't support it. Really? That's what you're going to tell us? What about supporting a terrorist group? What about standing with Israel, our greatest ally, who gets to defend themselves after people want to wipe them off the planet? And I think most of these kids who are out there saying from the river to the sea don't even know what they're talking about. Yes, I think there are bad actors in these crowds, but I think these bad actors are being propped up by people who are literally ding-dongs. They don't know what is going on. And it's clear when any time someone talks to them or asks them a question, they cannot answer it. They don't even know what they're supporting. And so we've got a leadership issue with Joe Biden. Where's the governor of New York? Where's the governor of California talking about some of these states that are experiencing a lot of protests? Where is the mayor of New York? Yes, we want the president of Colombia to come out, and they're having negotiations with these groups. I'm sorry, you don't negotiate with people who are breaking into buildings. If someone breaks into my home, I don't say, hey, you want to come out and have a picnic with me? We'll talk about how you can leave. No, I get them out of my house. And that's what should be happening on these college campuses. But it seems no one has the backbone to fight for what's right, and particularly for these Jewish students who are afraid for their life on many of these campuses.
Yeah, and getting into the question of whether this is really a matter of protected free speech, I mean, as we've discussed before, I mean, this is hate speech, what's going
yes.
on. The New York Post published an article recently where they called out some of the things that these groups are posting, and they talked about one group, the National Chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine, put a tweet out that said, "Thank you, Yemen," under a Houthi sign that reads, "Death to America, death to Israel, cursed be the Jews, victory to Islam." And that was Matthew Levitt at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy who came up with that. I mean, really, those are the people that we're going to negotiate with since when?
Right. And this is I think this goes back to again, just a failure of leadership, a failure for someone to even define what's right and wrong. And look, I am all about freedom of speech. We've talked about it before. If these were out there, these kids were out there saying, we don't want war, we don't like war, I would say fine. Do I want them on a campus all the time shouting things at people? Not really. That becomes annoying, but they have a right to do that. But when you're starting to yell these anti-Semitic things in the faces of students, and you're shutting down people who pay a lot of money to go to these schools, this isn't a community college. These are high dollar campuses. And you're saying you can't go to school, or we're canceling graduation, or we aren't going to have final exams. You're now infringing on other people's rights, and you are engaging in hate speech. And that is the line. It's not just an anti-war protest. These are people who are literally anti-Israel, and I would say in many cases anti-Western culture. I mean, it really bothers me, particularly when I see young women out there with their faces covered, something that we should be so proud as American women that we don't have to do, right? We can get up in the morning, we can choose the clothes we want to wear, we can wear the colors we want to wear, we can put on a dress if we want to, we can do whatever we want in this country. And you've got these people out there who are covering their face and who are talking about literally either a terrorist group in Hamas or in a country that respects Sharia law as the law of the land, which gives women no rights to live. And it makes me wonder what has gotten into them. What do they not understand that makes them so sympathetic to this cause?
But I also want to say, I think this is a perfect example of an instance where there is a role for everybody to play. You know, again, you know, we clearly are not going to get a solution from our leadership. So this is a case where every American can step up and do something, whether it's, you know, calling the university and saying that you're not going to give them any money this year. I've read multiple posts on social media of people saying they've called their university and said, you are not getting my money this year, and you will not get it until you stop supporting this kind of thing. I think, you know, parents who've got kids in these schools. And I also want to say, I really want to give a shout out to some of the incredible groups that do support conservative voices on campuses, because I think they're doing God's work. So I want to say, like, Claire Booth Luce, Center for Conservative Women, does an extraordinary job of supporting conservative female voices on campuses. Young America's Foundation, YAF, does an incredible job. ISI also does a good job. You know, if you don't have a school you can cut off with your donations, then instead support some of these groups that are helping, you know, support conservative voices on these campuses until some sanity is restored.
And spread their message. You know, we have such a powerful tool with social media, and we can look at what these groups are doing on college campuses, and we can spread them out on our own platforms and our own profiles. I don't know if you heard the story of Eli Sivis. Does that name sound familiar to you?
No.
He's a young man that goes to UCLA. So this story has blown up in my home city of Los Angeles, obviously. He's a UCLA student who tried to go on campus, and he was wearing a Star of David necklace. That's it. And he had a group of these protesters, mostly women. Towards the end, there was a man that joined, but mostly women who were preventing him from going on. Now, he was completely respectful. In fact, he even put his arms up, like, you know, saying, I just want to get on campus. Let me on campus. And in fact, we'll play the video for you because I think it's worth seeing. So we'll do that here.
We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burger while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school. And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Well, I can't take it. Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
We're not engaging with that.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging with that.
Okay, we're going. We're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them. I'm not hurting them. That's what they do. That's what they do, everybody. You guys are promoting aggression. You guys are promoting hate.
But he's got his hands up. He's respectful. And he says, I just want to get in. I just want to get to campus. They would not let him in. Well, this video has gone viral. And this kid was on Fox and Friends on Tuesday morning, and he was talking about how he didn't want to be disrespectful to these women. He wanted to get on campus. And they said, well, why didn't you just barge by them? They're just, you know, young. They're smaller than you. Why didn't you just get by them? And he said, I really wanted to film what I'm dealing with every single day. I wanted to put it out there so people can see it. And so those are the kinds of things when you're starting to feel helpless that you can actually help make go viral so that maybe people who don't have an understanding of what people are facing will actually get to see it. And I think in moments like that, we can celebrate the people who aren't just cowering down and who aren't afraid and who are going out there and trying to spread the message about what they're dealing with. And UCLA has been one that has had even violence on their campus because they've allowed for an encampment, like many of these universities, to be built right in the center. But you've had some pushback. It is interesting. You had not only this kid who's made news, but you also had a guy who, I don't know if you remember the movie Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams, but he got a tape or a recording of Robin Williams saying Good Morning Vietnam, and he took it out to the campus very early in the morning before the sun came up, and he started playing it right outside the encampment and was waking up what he called the commies that were sleeping, trying to sleep in at UCLA. So there are some pushback, and those stories are out there, but it is a reminder that we can do, at the very least, share those stories so that we might wake up one person, two people. It all brings more attention to that movement.
I love it. Yeah. All right, let's tell some good news stories. There are some good things happening in the world, too. So
There are. And I'll tell you what, this is so funny. We have a great producer on this podcast, Misty Callahan. She's fantastic. We got to give her a fun nickname, I think. We'll think of something great. But Misty comes to us and she goes, okay, do you know about man versus bear? And of course, Katie and I are like, man versus bear? No, we're like involved in the fight. What are we doing? Well, apparently there's this trend on social media now where women are being asked, particularly women, would you rather, if you're out hiking, would you rather run into a man or a bear? Now, for me, I thought at first glance, I'm like, oh, easily a man. And then I thought, what man? Now, particularly like if it's George Clooney or something, I'd be happy to run into a man. No problem. And we can camp for a while if you want to. But what would you say before we go into our answers? I guess, Katie, let's start with you. You're out hiking, man versus bear. Who would you rather see?
Okay, I will say this, that our summer house is in New Hampshire. I've seen enough bears to know I do not want to run into one in the woods. Mm-mm. And I will also say I have been blessed to live a life with extraordinary men and men who have been just incredible defenders of women and defenders of the weaker and whatever. Men are great. I've only experienced good men in my life. And just the very thought that somebody might choose a bear over a man is ridiculous to me. And it's about as ridiculous as all these movies and TV shows that you see now where it's a woman going in and defending or protecting some weak, pathetic man. This just isn't reality.
Oh, I don't know. Have you met some of the men that are running around in Hollywood? There are a few alpha male. The buns, you know, they got the man buns that maybe you might have to protect, I think. But yeah. It's funny. I was thinking about this, and like immediately, I think I'd much rather see a man. Why would I want to see a bear? That's what I'm trying to avoid in my life. Like the only time I want to see a bear is in the zoo. I don't want to see it when I'm out hiking around. No, no, no. But it is funny that so many women, because truly, if you look at social media, the bulk of responses are that most women would rather run into a bear. Now, I thought about this and I thought the reason I would rather run into a man, number one, I believe most men are good. I don't think that most men are out there trying to kill me or hurt me. I don't choose to live my life with that heaviness on my mind. Like how ridiculous. And I think we've talked about it before. To be a true feminist, I think it's good to also want strong men out there. I don't think that you have to only have strong women at the sacrifice of enabling strong men. Now, I would also say that if it were one of those poor intention men hiding out there, I also think that my odds of beating up a man a whole lot better than beating up a bear. I mean, a bear has teeth that will rip your face off. A man, I might be able to get down to the ground and use some of my pent up rage and frustration to take him out. So I don't know any of these people, even if you think it's a man out there for bad reasons, that would want to meet a bear instead. Because if you ever tried to reason with the bear, it does not work.
No. So I don't know. It's a funny thing. It's a funny debate to watch. And if you haven't checked this out, just go on to X, go on to Twitter. I'm still going to call it Twitter. I'm sorry.
I always do too. Right. I'm looking at these responses.
Who knows what we're talking about, right? But yeah, go on to X if you want to see the hoopla and just type in bear versus man, and you can see some of the funny debate that's going on. And for those of you women who've been blessed with amazing men in your lives, I just hope you'll defend them and defend the honor of men and say, no, this is ridiculous. You do not want to run into a bear in the woods.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I was looking through all of the responses. I'm looking at them right now. And it is incredible how many women say that they would much rather deal and take their chances with a bear rather than a man. Unreal. And I guess men are baffled by this too. The men don't understand why women would rather see a bear. The poor guys are out there like, wait, what's wrong with us? You'd rather see Yogi Bear, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So we have also another topic today. This week actually marks the release of Tulsi Gabbard's new book, For Love of Country. And she's left the Democrat Party. And she's telling other people that the party that she was once a part of when she registered as a Democrat back in Hawaii in the early 2000s is not the Democrat Party that exists today. And we all know her history. She ran for president as a Democrat, Katie, back in 2020. She was the one who actually, I think, really got Kamala booted out of the race with her performance on the debate stage. But the Democrat Party really strong-armed her out as well. They didn't want her to be a part of the 2020 race, for sure, at least under their umbrella. It's interesting now to see what Republicans' reaction is in welcoming her. And I'm a big fan of saying, look, come on in. The Democrat Party leaves you behind. We want you in the Republican Party. But there are some of us, Katie, who I think are a little distrustful and think, oh, do we want these former Democrats in the movement? I say bring them on because we have to get bigger before we can actually win elections. What are you thinking about Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's in an incredibly difficult position. I think anybody who dares to be iconoclastic in this day and age and not fully embrace the party agenda. I mean, honestly, even to be a Democrat these days and not embrace their crazy radicalism gets you in trouble. So to have somebody like Tulsi that's gone, you know, such a unique path as to actually leave her party takes incredible bravery. And then, of course, she faces problems on the flip side as well when she comes into the Republican Party and people are going to be mistrustful. But, you know, I think these iconoclastic voices like hers are really important. I'm excited to read her book. Today is the official release date. I'm super excited because we're going to have her on the show in a couple of weeks. So you'll be able to hear from her directly, some of her experience. But just in general, I think this week in particular, I have really appreciated some of these iconoclastic voices like Tulsi's, like RFK Jr. I mean, no way am I going to vote for him, but I kind of appreciate that he's out there, you know, walking his own path, right? And then the other one, of course, is Senator Fetterman.
My new favorite senator. I have to admit, I'm developing a soft spot for the dirty sweatsuit, as President Trump called him.
I mean, we all thought he was sort of the biggest joke when he first got elected, and then nobody could understand actually how he got elected. And it just seemed proof of a corrupt and broken system. But now that he's in, I have to say, you know, God bless him for having the courage to challenge some of the sacred, you know, themes of his party. He's kind of walking his own path.
Look, I have to say, for those of you who are just kind of meeting Katie and I for the first time, I have been a Trump supporter since the escalator. I was one of the only people on the radio actually at the time who would defend President Trump back in 2015, then Donald Trump, because the minute I saw him come down the escalator and I heard him start talking about immigration and I heard him start talking about the hard stuff that these career politicians, these swamp politicians would never touch with a 10-foot pole, I thought, this is my guy. He's not afraid. And he's also talking to the people. He's not talking over the people. He's actually connecting. And so I bought into the power of Trump very early on. The reason I tell you that is because when I talk about RFK Jr., I have no intention of ever voting for him. I believe that he is a Democrat. Truly, I know he has tried to moderate some of his perspective, and I think he's doing that to pick up voters. But what I think is probably very egregious is that Joe Biden really pushed him into this situation to be the spoiler in this election. For Joe Biden, by the way, this is why it's so short-sighted. If Joe Biden had debated RFK Jr., if he had treated him as a primary opponent, as he should have, RFK Jr. would have been gone by now. He wouldn't have been making all of this noise. But by pushing him into a place where he thought he wasn't getting a fair shot and now enters a race as an independent candidate, I really believe with the gains that President Trump is making every single day and the failures of the Biden administration, that Joe Biden may have just signed his ticket by putting RFK in this position as an independent. And I don't think we should ever shut people down, even if we don't agree with them 100%, because I want to wake people up. And if RFK has more trust with a certain group of people than, say, a Donald Trump or whatever, whoever it might be, a Jennifer Horner or Katie Gorka, maybe somebody will listen to RFK and at least embrace his freedom of speech, his love for freedom of speech, or his position to question everything that the government tells us when it comes to vaccines. If it wakes up one person, I'm happy that he's there. And I also think that it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out, because it's possible he strips away 12% of the vote. And yeah, he'll take a few votes maybe from President Trump, but I think he's going to take more from President Biden.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this earlier in the context of the college insanity, but I think that is going to really hurt the Democrats.
In swing states, especially like Michigan and Wisconsin, for sure.
Yeah, and it was interesting, I think, to see that there were 21 Democratic congressmen writing to the head of Columbia saying, you know, this has to stop. I think that they recognize that this is going to really hurt them. And I think that RFK Jr. is the one who's going to scoop up those votes. I think, you know, for Democrats who don't like where their party has gone, and I think that's a growing number, I think RFK Jr., you know, for some of them, some will 100% come over to Trump, but some of them, I think, will go to RFK Jr.
Yeah. And the reason you brought him up, but the reason I jump onto that is because I think it's very much a part of the conversation with Tulsi Gabbard as well. I'm so excited to have her on this podcast so that we can actually spread out and kind of find out where she is today and her heart and all of that. I think it's going to be incredible. But I had her on my radio show in Los Angeles a couple of weeks, about a month ago. And she was so interesting to talk to. She's got this military background. She's very interesting. She's very smart. I know that she loves this country. I do believe that she's probably not 100% in line with my ideals or my principles, but she's still, you know, she's still there. So what do we do with her in the Republican Party? And there are a lot of people. And I asked her, are you going to be RFK's vice president? She said, love Bobby, but no. Well, now it turns out he asked her. And by the way, smart money would have been for him to pick up Tulsi Gabbard as his vice presidential candidate. She turned it down, allegedly. When I asked her if she'd be Trump's vice presidential pick, she basically said yes very quickly. And none of us know what President Trump is going to do when it comes to the vice presidential pick, and he will make a good choice for him because he's got to consider that he needs someone to be out there on the campaign trail with them. I don't know that he needs to bring in any states in particular or any voting blocks. He's doing very well on his own, but he needs someone that he's going to be comfortable with when he's tied up, right? And so I've just been seeing more and more, and the scuttlebutt has been out there. What if it's Tulsi Gabbard? And as much as I want to welcome her into the party, and I even think that I wouldn't be opposed if she had a position in the cabinet with President Trump, I don't know if I'm there yet on the vice presidential pick. Is that funny? Do you feel the same way?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, again, I think Donald Trump is another one of those iconoclastic characters. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's a breaker of molds. And I could just see him doing something like, you know, breaking the rules and picking a Tulsi Gabbard. But
especially if you think you need women, right? You're trying to figure out the best way to appeal to women.
Yeah. But again, I'm kind of with you. It's so important, right? And you always have to remember, what if something happens to him? This person becomes our president. Yeah. I think you have to take that very, very seriously. I think they clearly didn't take it seriously when they chose Kamala Harris. And I don't think Tulsi Gabbard, I just do not want to see her. I don't want my values and interests relying on her leadership. Not yet. You know,
at this moment. That's right.
But I do 100% believe in the ability of people to change. You know, I myself changed. I mean, I was very middle of the road or even left of center until about the age of 30, when I started traveling to Central and Eastern Europe after the fall of the Berlin Wall. That was my awakening. That's when I became a conservative. So I know firsthand that people can absolutely change their views. And so it's not that I distrust it. I just don't think there's been enough time for her to kind of prove herself. And it's just too important to go on a whim, right?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, you know, look, I'd be supportive. I mean, President Trump could put Daffy Duck up there at this point, and I would vote for him. I mean, it wouldn't, you know, and there you go, Trump and Duck, I think, 2024. But the point is that, yes, you want someone that you will trust because you are a breath away from the presidency. And I do believe that Democrats really wanted Kamala Harris to be president. I think the DNC really thought that she was going to be the one. She's transactional. She's controllable. And so they put her in that position to be vice president. But now they have this problem that she's just not popular and probably not that capable of doing the job. And so I do think it matters. I know a lot of people say, well, vice president, you know, they just kind of hang around and they might be in charge of a few things. But it does. It does matter. Especially in this day and time when there is just so much chaos and craziness, we need to make sure there is a good, strong leader waiting in the wings just in case.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right. Real quick. I did have one little fun thing that I did this weekend I wanted to share with you. I know you're a big theater person and you love to go to Broadway and you go with your daughter all the time, which I think is great. My mom, who is, you've met, she's amazing, former teacher, super liberal. So we talk about her sometimes on this program because she's my barometer of what the other half thinks. And
Can I interject though and say,
yes,
but she's a sane liberal. She's not a crazy liberal.
Most of the time saying.
Oh, come on.
Yes, she is a sane liberal. Yeah. But what's really, she loves the theater. She got her master's in Shakespearean studies from the Shakespeare Institute. It's been a big part of my life to share her love of literature, and we love to go to plays together. I had never seen the play Funny Girl, and it's her favorite, apparently. And it came to town, and I said, oh, this is early Mother's Day. So we went downtown L.A. to the Amundsen Theater, which is always kind of fun. I stay out of downtown as much as possible. So to actually go down there and see what's going on, and let me tell you, it's interesting. It was such a great show, though. The main character had such an incredible, or excuse me, the star of the show had such an incredible voice. This was a role that was played by Barbara Streisand and Omar Sharif, I believe, in the movie. But what I loved about it is it was based on a true story about Fanny Brice, who was a huge star, vaudevillian star. She was a huge radio star, which is, of course, my favorite medium. And she was really one of the first women that was like allowed to be funny. She became a star despite her looks, not because of her looks. And it was a really interesting show. And it was interesting how that being, you know, those comments about her not being pretty enough probably put her into a relationship with a guy who was not that great. He was a gambler, ended up in jail, embezzled from a company. But the show was great. And I love the throwback to kind of what used to sell as far as the vaudeville style and what used to sell on radio. It was so much more theater of the mind rather than commentary. It was interesting to see it all together.
So I have to ask you, did you not even, as a child, did you not even ever see the movie with Barbara Streisand?
Never saw the movie, never saw the show, never, never. I was familiar. I knew some of the music. I knew Don't Rain on My Parade and People, of course. But yeah, I'd never even seen the movie. So it was like it was a brand new experience for me. And it reminded me how much I loved the live theater. It was really, it's just, I think COVID changed a lot of people's habits, and we don't go out and see things like we used to. Maybe we don't even go to the movies like we used to. And it's not because I'm afraid of getting sick. It's just things changed when everything was shut down. I mean, you're just, your habits change. And so it was just really nice to go out there and actually see live theater. And this woman's voice that was the main character, and I'm totally forgetting her name, was so incredible that during the performance, she was actually getting standing ovations. It wasn't even just at the end. I mean, she was incredible, incredibly talented vocalist.
I got to tell you one quick thing that I got to see from the same kind of about the same era. So, as you know, we went to Houston this weekend because our son competed in an Ironman. And I just want to say to every mother who's had a child compete in an Ironman, you have my full sympathy. I mean, it might have been tiring for our son, but it was exhausting for me. I found it just so stressful. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's like they swim 2.4 miles. They cycle 100 something. I can't remember the number.
Just a short 100 something miles.
6 hours in Houston. So it was about 86 degrees. You're cycling on the highway for a lot of it. 6 hours on a bike. Then you get off the bike and you run a marathon. And I'm just so glad it was behind us, but I'm so proud of our son for having done this. But anyway, I just mentioned that to say.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible that he did it. And you've got such great kids. You both of your kids do such incredible things. But that's no joke, especially in Houston with that weather.
Craziness. But the reason I know is because we had to fly there and fly back. And so I always watch weird things on the plane, right? Things that I wouldn't bother to watch at home. But I saw an incredible movie that was really eye-opening for me about a singer named Marian Anderson. Have you ever heard that name?
No.
So such an interesting story. The movie focused on the period of about 1936 to 1939. She was a black opera singer, and not just opera, but other forms of singing. Incredible singer, considered sort of they called her the voice of the century. So, so talented. She went to Europe. She traveled around the United States. And part of what the movie, so I loved hearing about this great talent who we've never heard of. I had never heard of. But then it's a very interesting story because what it comes down to is Howard University wanted to have her perform for their graduation in 1939. And the only place big enough in Washington, D.C., was the hall that's owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution. Wow. And they had an all-white policy. They had a no-blacks policy, and they would not let her perform. And, you know, just kind of the brouhaha around that. And I found it a really fascinating story. And, you know, part of why I loved it is it did go a little bit into the civil rights movement and some of the things, you know, that were sort of brought into fighting for that. And there was somebody had a great line that said, the real change came when people figured out that they had power themselves. They could bring about change, you know, just by standing up. And you and I always talk so much about all the incredible people like Sonia Shaw who are out in the world doing things to change their communities, to push back on the insanity. And I just love that message that, you know, we all have something we can do. There's all of us can stand up in some way to what we see as the injustice and make our world a better place to live again.
Amen to that. All right. I think that's a good place to end today's episode. We thank you for being with us. Don't forget to share the podcast, if you will, on social media. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. We would love those 5-star reviews, of course. And thanks for being with us. Katie Gorka, katiegorka.org. You can find me on Instagram, Jennifer Horn Radio. And we'll see you next time on the Happy Women Podcast.